It's a Padres roundtable coming up in an hour. But I've got a fairly interesting topic that I want to discuss with everybody. You can add some early thoughts here if you'd like, Woods and Paul, who doesn't get to take part in the roundtable. Are you jealous that we get to do the roundtable?
Doesn't get to take part.
Do you have to go home and, you know,
relax
go on with the rest of your day?
They're forcing me to leave at my scheduled original time of 10 o'clock this morning. Unbelievable, those jerks.
Is it at all time to be a little concerned if you're a Los Angeles Dodgers fan? That your team is not quite as all-encompassingly dominant as you thought it was going to be. And again, they're not bad by any stretch of the imagination. They're in first place, but only 3 games above 500, only a game ahead of the Padres, who are...
Lost 4 straight series?
Yeah, the third straight series yesterday, dropping 2-3 to the Washington Nationals.
Yeah, you feel like if you're a Dodger fan, that's a series that you were going to win. You feel like you'd put a healthy amount of cash on that one, too.
Their pitching has... The lack of depth in their pitching right now, and they're hoping to get Walker Buehler back fairly soon, could help. But you have no idea what Walker Buehler is going to look like after nearly 2 years out of the game. Went with a rookie, London Knack, made his debut yesterday, gave up a home run on his second pitch to the recently mentioned C.J. Abrams by Eno Saris in our last segment. I certainly expect the Dodgers will still be good and probably...
Oh, yeah.
Playoff team and most likely win the division.
I think they'll figure it out.
Are they quite as good as we all thought they would be going into this year?
No, and I think it's a good lesson though. I'm probably going to say this now, and then I'll probably say it in an hour and a half whenever you ask this question. But I think, you know, you look at a guy like Shohei Ohtani, right? And what has he done since joining the Dodgers? Well, other than the massive national news and everything else, he's hitting .341 for the team. His OPS is over 1,000. It's pretty good. Must be a really, really clutch player. He's 1-for-19 with runners in scoring position. 1-for-19. He had 2 knocks on Tuesday out of 5 at-bats. Those 3 hitless at-bats all came with opportunities to drive in runs that he didn't do. So I think it's a good lesson for all of us to remember is that, yeah, like, sometimes a hot start, quote unquote, can be a bit of a mirage, but also a slow start may not be the end of the world
but
for some guys.
Is it just a start? Because, yes, it's just his start with the Dodgers, in this season. He put up massive numbers for the Angels last couple of years.
Yeah,
MVP.
Yeah.
Didn't help their team. Now, you thought, well, they didn't have the resources around him that the Dodgers do, and they don't. But look at the Angels now without Shohei Ohtani. Everyone expected they're going to collapse, and perhaps they still will. They're at 500. They just won another game yesterday. Mike Trout is playing well.
So he
and
hit,
carrying the team right now.
He hit well in Anaheim. He was over 300 with runners in scoring position in his longer tenure there. But yeah, it's kind of doesn't make any sense sometimes when you look at it. And bro, you're not going to ever slag a guy for hitting, you know, 340 with 1,000 OPS.
If only we had a recent example of a team that felt like it was built with too many stars to fail. There was just too much talent of superstar hitters and Cy Young pitchers. There's no way you could have a disappointing season with that collection of talent. It's just not possible. Well, we lived through it last year in 2023, and I am not predicting that the Dodgers are going to have a Padres-like 82-80 season to miss the playoffs this year. That would be too much to almost dream on as a Padres fan. But based on the results so far, they don't look like a 118-win juggernaut that some of us thought was going to be completely unstoppable. They have lineup issues at the bottom. They have bullpen issues. They have starting pitching issues.
So here's my only...
And their stars are carrying them. If they start slumping, if Mookie Betts doesn't play like the best player on the planet, and he goes into a slump, and Shohei goes into a slump, now all of a sudden you have a mediocre to not even very good team on your hands.
Yeah, and here's the only issue I see with that argument, and what is makes them basically impervious to problems. If and when they need something, they will go get it. Period. Andrew Friedman.
If they don't already have it.
If they don't already have it, Paulie. Excellent point you make, right?
Because it just seems like they just bring up stud starting pitcher after stud starting pitcher.
That being said, you know, Altman, they're like, this is your job. We got rid of Michael Bush. Like, this is your guy. He's not playing that well. Gavin Lux has been, he's good hitter, not so good defensively, and he's scuffling. The bottom of the lineup scuffling. If those guys get hot, though, with Mookie going five for five, it can absolutely rocket
and it will
to the
at some
moon.
Point. It will be hot.
Chris Taylor's not going to hit 053 for the entire season. I mean, you know, they have issues like every team, though. And we said at the beginning of the year, the funny thing is, the issues I thought they were going to have, I thought defense up the middle would be, Mookie's played great at short, at second, Rojas.
Max Muncy actually played really well in the series defensively against the Padres.
And of course, always good for a homer against the Padres. You can book that every single time. He's 0-29 now, Chris Taylor. That's not going to continue. I mean, the guy's put up numbers, and I don't see them going into some death spiral, because at the end of the day, what will they do? They'll go, all right, well, we need Willie Adames, or we need so-and-so. We'll go get him. Not all their moves, though, are the smartest. Not all their moves are the best. Not all their moves are so forward-thinking. You know, any team that lets Yordan Alvarez walk is not, you know, I mean, every team's got guys that they went, oh, crap, I can't believe we let that get away. Bush, he homered in like five straight games for the Cubbies. Like, he's settling in there, you know. And so you still got to, just like their beloved announcer said, that's why you play the games. That nobody hands you a division title in April, you know.
And the longer the Padres can maybe keep breathing down their necks and putting on pressure, I think the better it is.
Yeah, just stay, keep doing what you're doing. You know, don't, you can't have that huge skid. You know, you lose six straight or something like that, and then, you know, all hope feels lost, even though it's still, you know, in May or something like that. But, and I don't think the Dodgers are really panicking right now. You look up and down the lineup and you go, you have to feel, if you're them or a fan, you have to look up and down the lineup and go, yeah, we're fine. We're fine. This is not the start we expected, but we're absolutely fine.
D-backs coming off the World Series, off to a slow start. They lost to the Cubs yesterday, dropped a series. Giants did win yesterday against the Marlins, but they're off to a slow start. Rockies are off to a terrible start. The NL West is not as formidable looking at this moment, and we will discuss that coming up at 10 o'clock in our Padres Roundtable, brought to you by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. Right now, though, Paulie's got some headlines. Let's get to the Roundel Report.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rindle Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report with Paul Rindle.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindle Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a
All right.
That music's still jarring.
I know. It's going to take a little getting used to.
It is.
For sure. Gentlemen, we are 1 week away from the NFL draft, which means we're less than a week away from Ben's mock the draft, which is one of my favorite days.
It's the best.
On the calendar here.
How's it going?
Ben and Woods program.
I'm ready, actually.
Already?
Yeah.
God, you're good.
I got a lot of work in yesterday. And there may be tweaks, but as I've done my projections,
the trades,
they're falling into place now. For my mock the draft.
I can't wait.
So we are a week away, and you're going to have a little bit of different looks on some of the broadcasts. There's a lot of different ways you can consume the NFL draft, whether it's NFL Network, ESPN, online. So Nick Saban, a couple of big coaching names are going to be involved. Nick Saban, remember, retired from Alabama, and he is going to be joining College Game Day this fall.
I'm going to tell you right now, he's going to be incredible at it.
I think so.
He's going to be part of the draft coverage. Incredible at anything he does, talking football. It was, if I was on a board of like sandwich show or something that I'm very passionate about, I'd be great at it. He's going to be phenomenal at it.
I don't care much about the NFL draft, but if I do catch a little bit, it'll be on Thursday during the first round.
Oh, of course.
The thing that I hate, the draft coverage, in that, like, Mel Kiper Jr., guys like that, Todd McShay, like, what do they get? 2 out of 32 picks, right?
Well, that, not only that, but it's the constant, like, you've never seen any, like, everyone,
every single player.
Everybody is, and that's what you have to do.
So I would listen to Nick Saban, though. Like,
in a heartbeat.
To hear what he has to say about these guys that he either coached against, coached himself at Alabama in the past,
yeah,
or whatever.
Be plenty of those guys.
He might be a little more biased towards some of the Alabama guys early, but yeah.
There's
but
actually good storylines in this draft. I'm excited about this for a while.
My point is, his breakdowns, they weigh a little bit more with me than Todd McShay or something.
Yeah. I mean, McShay's really good. Like, these guys are good at what they do.
Are they though?
Well, yeah, they're not good. They're like 1 out of 32.
They devote their entire year to it.
They certainly know about the prospects, and they know about the teams and what they need. But in terms of actually predicting who's going where, no one's ever been good at this ever.
Here's what I will say to that, too. If for what we do for a living, no one has ever been good at it. No one knows what they're talking about. Fair. Ever. Never. No one's ever predicted. If you predict something right, it's blind luck is what it is. And
But in drafts in particular, you understand the reasoning why they don't get it wrong. Once you get one wrong, you can no longer
it's
recover.
It's like your NCAA pool.
You can no longer recover because like the one mistake then impacts the next pick because the next team takes the guy I had it totally going differently, and it just unravels. It's like a snowball. It just completely takes out your mock draft. As soon as you make one mistake, you are pretty much, it's almost impossible to get back on track unless the next team picks the guy that you were going to have there. You just miss those two, and you get right back on track.
I love when those trades.
It's done.
When those trades happen, four teams switch. You're done.
It's over. There's no way to do it.
So Saban won't be the only former coach that you're going to see on draft coverage. Bill Belichick is also going to have some thoughts on the NFL draft from the NFL coach's perspective.
Yeah, he's really good. I don't know. Maybe. Who knows? No idea.
You know what? We'll see. It's going to be on the host of this show, I think, to try to pull something out of Bill Belichick, because Belichick's going to be teaming up with Pat McAfee for the Pat McAfee Show Draft Spectacular.
So McAfee's going to be screaming.
McAfee and Belichick.
Wow. Well, it's like Ben and Woods, though. Maybe opposites attract.
He's
going to
pull that demon out of Bill Belichick.
He's going to pull that demon out of him.
All right. Elsewhere, another football story. This one, a funny one. So Jason Kelce, him and his brother Travis, they have their podcast, New Heights. And earlier this week, I believe, Jason told a story about how he lost his Super Bowl ring. Now, Travis could say he lost one of his Super Bowl rings.
Yep.
Jason's only got one.
Got the one.
And he lost it. And the way it wasn't stolen, didn't lose a box while moving or something. Yeah. Him and his brother, they call it the Great Lumbaby Games at the University of Cincinnati every year. And it's just chaos.
Drunken chaos.
Stupid bar games and stuff like that. And they had a competition between athletes and students, I guess, in a game where you had to dive into pools of Skyline chili.
It's absolutely repugnant.
And of course, I can see Jason Kelce out of all people, just shirt off, in a Speedo probably, diving into a pool of chili, and apparently...
And his ring fell off
in the chili?
He
lost his ring in one of the pools of chili.
That is unreal. You would wear it to
Actually, that's not the case. They actually hid the ring in the chili, and you were supposed to find it. And then they put it in there, and no one could ever find it again.
That's what happened?
That's what happened.
Oh, my God.
Yes, that's what I read happened.
That was not in the story I read.
Yes, they actually they put it in a sock, threw it into the chili, and said, whoever finds Jason's Super Bowl ring first wins, and no one ever found it again.
Oh. Somebody pocketed it.
Now, he said, I've already submitted to the insurance to replace it. If I'm the insurance company, I'm you're an idiot.
How'd you lose it? Oh,
that.
You did a chili contest? Yeah, right. Sorry. We have a strict, it's in your policy.
It's not in the policy. You put it into a giant swimming pool of chili.
You gave it away.
I'm not replacing this thing.
Like, we buried it in my yard and one of my kids to find it. Sorry, man. Nobody stole it. It didn't break in your house.
It's a policy against, accidental loss or destruction.
You willfully took it off and said, here, put it in this sock and throw it in that chili
vat. Stupidity.
Idiot. You know what? I'll say it. He deserves to lose it. You blew it. You can't be so willy-nilly with your Super Bowl ring.
Now, I don't know who makes these rings anymore. I know, Jostens is the one ring company I would think
probably not.
I understand it's not Jostens. I can't think of a jeweler.
I can't even.
A Beverly Zales. Hills jeweler. Yeah, Zales.
Every kiss begins with K.
Yeah, every kiss begins with can I help you? Yeah, I need a new
Whoever made the Super Bowl rings for, what was that, 2017, whatever, for the Eagles, Like, do they have a way to recreate it? Like, if he wanted to fork over however many thousands of dollars it would cost, can he order another, like,
personal Super Bowl jeweler?
Just
Ben Bridge. Ben Bridge.
Did
they
you?
Went to Jared.
Justin's is maybe your best.
Jared.
That may be your best line of the show. He didn't even say, he just was like naming a place.
I was just trying to think of who does it. It's always like, oh, this boutique jeweler on Saks Fifth Avenue.
Tiffany and Company, maybe something like that.
I could see Tiffany. Yeah, exactly. But can he call Tiffany's and just be like,
oh my God, at least she Googled it. It's Justin's. Suck it!
They make the Super Bowl rings.
Suck. You're joking.
Did they send them the catalog like they do every high school senior?
Fill it out. I think they make our
class rings.
Class rings. Oh, that's amazing. Justin's. They make Super Bowl. No.
I'm going. Whoever said it was right, I'm going with
Alyssa
them.
Says it. Alyssa or Alyssa. I never say it right. Alyssa, sorry.
All right, finally, quickly here, a new movie potentially on the horizons, one I am very excited about. I think one of the best duos in Hollywood right now is Martin Scorsese and Leonardo DiCaprio. They are just unbelievable together. Of course, they had, what was the last year's movie? That won every award.
Oh, it was Killers of the Flower Moon. Yeah.
Killers of the Flower Moon. They've done The Departed, Gangs of New York, Wolf of Wall Street together, and they've got another one in the works. I don't believe this has officially been greenlit yet, but they are teaming up on their end of the deal to do a biopic movie about Frank Sinatra, and it's also going to feature Jennifer Lawrence in that
Ava
role
Gardner.
As Ava Gardner.
Oh my God.
Now, I guess it's all up to the estate of Frank Sinatra.
Please.
And if they want to proceed with it, but Scorsese has said he's in, and according to Variety, Leo has also said
he's
in.
Can Leo sing?
I don't, doesn't
or,
matter.
Yeah, it does.
Doesn't
if
matter.
You're playing Frank Sinatra, it does. Or do they have someone do the voice
do the
when
voice.
He's singing?
Yeah.
That sucks.
I know. I mean, not
and the reason why Star is Born was so great was because
Crazy Heart. Like, the guy's singing it.
Because
he
could
sing. I mean, they all do, right? Did Joaquin Phoenix sing in Walk the Line?
Yeah.
Did Ray, Jamie Foxx sing
in
Ray?
That's going to be big, how Leo handles that.
I bet you, yeah, like.
I don't remember him singing in a lot of his movies, I'll say that.
But Frankson, okay, and he has a great voice, but it's not
does
like
Leo have a great voice?
No, but it's not like he's got to do, you know, it's just Frank Sinatra did a lot of When I Was 21. Like it's not, it's just kind of warbling a little bit. You know what I mean? And deep, you know, get deep like this. It's not that challenging.
He doesn't have to hit high notes.
Right. It's not like he's not doing Frankie Valli or something.
To me, I mean, he's a great actor. He doesn't sound like Frank Sinatra to me, but we'll see.
No, but I mean, I think he'll be great at it. Yeah, all those people that sang. Megan's, it's basically talking. Yeah, I mean, it's Frank Sinatra. He does that whole shtick. That will be an incredible movie. Incredible.
I can't wait.
Fly me to the moon. Like, come on. It's not that hard.
No, that's
do
all
your
right.
best Sinatra.
Start spreading the
all right,
news.
Baby, you can't do it. I don't.
I'm leaving today. I wanna be a part of it. New York, New York. Mm. Not good.
No, that wasn't great. You're better at maybe the higher Frankie Valli would have been better. Is that him, Sherry? Baby. Yeah, you crushed that. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm just reading here from ProFootballHallOfFame.com, the story from last year. The Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl 57 ring, designed by Justin's, has been placed on display at the Hall of Fame.
That was amazing. Justin's.
All right, I will recover from that, and we will come back. We've got some Mojo tickets to give away. We've got a Throwback Thursday clip from the archives that Paulie's pulling out that involves at least one of Woods' children, which is always usually a pretty good clip. All coming up after a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. I know one of your kids was a little under the weather this week.
Taylor, yeah.
Taylor.
Poor guy.
Had to pick him up. How's he doing? Is he okay?
He's at school, so he's feeling better.
It's an improvement.
Yeah, an improvement.
But I believe our Throwback Thursday clip here on Ben and Woods involves your other child. Is that correct, Pauly?
My eldest.
That is correct.
Bo Woods.
This was 2 years ago this week, as I try to pull it up. There it is. Yeah, you guys, so typically if Bo or and or Taylor are in studio, it's because you're usually going somewhere right after the show.
Yep.
So I don't know. It sounds like you referenced a concert.
Yeah, I think we were heading up to L.A. to
April of 2022.
Deftones, like most dads and their four-year-olds do.
Right.
Yeah. That's Greek theater. Yeah.
We had Taylor do it last year. They come over here. They put the headphones on. They get to play with all of the sound bites.
Hit the buttons.
But it originated with Bo 2 years ago this week. Here's that clip.
You are so my son. All right, let's see.
Let's go.
All right.
Move it right to here.
Paul's giving a little tutorial on our board here at 97.3 The Fan.
All right. Sounds now, so little.
Oh, move it back up. Now click this button right here where my finger is. Do I click it? Did you hear that? That was you. Is that you? Stay there. Oh, Bo. All right. Oh, my goodness.
That's good.
That's a good question, baby.
Oh, God.
That's Blake Stale right there.
Going ham.
Oh. It's like when Adam's on the board. He just fires off all sorts of different drops just randomly.
I'm not a cat.
Bo's drop extravaganza. He just comes in and plays button.
Are you ready?
I love this one, Bo. Oh, we're barnyard noises now.
How about we go over here? Who's this?
My baby.
That's you.
That's you.
Hey, Bo.
My
He liked that one.
He liked that one a lot, dude. That one gets him still.
You like the buttons, huh?
Bo, who are you going to see in concert with your dad today? What band are you going to go to see?
I don't know.
Yes, you do.
He just wants to keep pressing buttons.
Who are you going to
Is it
oh
Kiss?
My God.
No,
not Kiss.
Who are you going to go see? Who are you going to go see tonight?
Is it Motorhead? No.
Bo!
He's gone.
He's done.
Mm-hmm. Never got an answer.
Never got an answer. Yeah, we were going to go see Deftones at the Greek.
God, and, the difference at this age, bro, that he's at, like 2 years.
It trips me out.
He's a different person.
He's a teenager now.
He's six now?
Six.
What always tripped me out as a parent when my kids were that age, or I was five, like my first like real kind of memories are after that.
Yeah, about five.
So to think about the fact that neither of them, like these last 5 years, which you will remember vividly for the rest of your life, they're not going to really remember any of it. When they're our age, they'll look back and they go, yeah, kind of sort of have feelings of a couple of things we might have done, but anything specific will be gone.
Well,
when they're adults, they won't remember any of this.
The difference is that, you know, like Bo, when I'm long gone, Bo and Taylor can go to my Instagram and see all of our moments. We had pictures.
That's true.
But they were yellow and faded and, you know, it didn't jog you. Like, they'll actually be able to go and see videos.
You have a digital scrapbook.
I wonder,
a
like,
digital scrapbook.
That coming into studio, pushing those buttons. When Bo is 35, will he remember the day he came in when he was four and pushed all the buttons at the studio?
And I had a talk with him recently about, you know, someday Dad won't be around. And I said, the cool thing for you, and maybe
it's got real serious.
It's true.
I was going to bring this up too.
I said to him, I go, the cool thing is that I'll always be around. There's years of audio of me. Like, there's literally,
just go to the YouTube channel now.
Go to YouTube. I will always be here. Yeah. I said, you'll never be without seeing my face or hearing my voice for the rest of your life if you want it. Not everybody has that, which I am so happy about that.
I mean,
that.
When we were growing up, you might have had some home videos if they survived moves or anything.
We didn't even do that, I don't think.
I'm just saying you might have.
Yeah,
but
you
now
might have.
Everything is digital.
Yeah.
And it lives forever.
He's going to be able to go listen to me, you know, on podcasts and whatever he wants, and YouTube and all of that. So, yeah, we've had that conversation.
Yeah, I mean, growing up, I mean, there were pictures of me as a kid, obviously, a class picture, and then, you know, with family vacation pictures and stuff. There's literally 40 pictures a day of your kids, like that are on social media that will never go away.
Never go away. It's why I do it. It's so when I'm not here, they have that. So that's it's all carefully curated and collated by me.
Sorry to everyone who says I'm bringing down the mood.
making everybody sad with my thoughts.
We'll do on the round table, your favorite pet that died, worst diseases to get when you're older, and
put out a poll.
Yeah, I'm excited for this.
Biggest financial mistakes.
Your biggest financial mistakes. All right, Chris and Ello, we're going to go to you now. Who's your favorite pet that died? Tony Gwynn Jr. Like, it's just, we don't want to do this, right? This is terrible.
All right, it's time to give away. We'll lighten the mood by giving away a 4-pack of tickets to see the San Diego Mojo, San Diego's newest pro volleyball team, against the Omaha Supernovas at Viejas Arena on April 23rd. You can get your tickets now at provolleyball.com, but let's win them right now and put a smile on everybody's face. 833-288-0973. Third caller is going to win the 4-pack of tickets to the Mojo Supernovas coming up early next week at Viejas Arena. We'll be back. Final segment. Well, there's some NBA play-in tournament action that is going to continue tonight and tomorrow, and probably spin the topic wheel. Maybe some more Padres. I don't know. We'll play the 16 minutes.
Those are options. Coming
that's out. A world-class tease.
I'm too sad.
That's going to go down right in the radio. Here's how you tease, guys. Listen to this. Something NBA, and I don't know. That's why I love the show. That's exactly why I love this show. Just got an update, Benny, on that story we talked about earlier. The Valley Sports settlement with the San Diego Padres. Jeff Sanders, the UT, just sent out his update on his article. A Padres source has clarified the team's expectation that the total will be just $17 million. So a fraction of what the Diamond Sports Group was supposed to pay. $360 million from 2024 through 2030.
I think it was more than $360 million based on the contract. So, I mean, just a tiny, tiny bit.
$17 million. Hey, you have a contract. If somebody offers you $100 and then they give you six.
Yeah. Well, man, but you can't squeeze anything out of a stone when it's not there.
That's right.
That's they're exactly bankrupt. Right. They've apparently run out of money for at least some of their creditors, and the Padres aren't going to be getting much of that.
That's such a huge blow, man. God.
Now, you can say, well, that's really bad luck for the Padres, which it is because it's not happening to every team. But they also entered into that deal and, you know, they made that choice to enter into that contract with Diamond Sports, and it hasn't gone that well. Now, I feel like the Padres have held up their end of the bargain by creating as much interest in Padres baseball as there has ever been created. Yeah. Now, Diamond Sports said, yeah, we're all excited about this. If you couldn't capitalize on the most interest ever in Padres baseball, then you probably entered into a pretty bad deal to begin with. Correct?
I couldn't agree more, man. And you know, the cycle of this thing, though, is crazy, too, because fans have definitely held up their end of the bargain.
I would think so.
They have. Like, the fans in San Diego have 100% held up their end of the bargain. Ownership.
That's not even up for debate.
That's not up for debate. That's just the fans show up, period. They watch. They listen. They want to be.
Is it possible that the Padres actually hurt their TV partner by having so many people come to the games, sellouts every day, that they were actually taking away from the people who are watching on TV and hurting their ratings?
I think
they've increased interest across the board.
The interest is through the roof, man. It's through the roof. And
it wasn't a Padres issue. It was the
Diamond
Valley
Sports Group
parent company went bankrupt.
Yeah.
Like that, it didn't really have anything to do with.
Yeah,
the
but
Padres
part thing of that was because they were paying not just the Padres but all these teams.
Yeah.
So much in rights fees, and they weren't able to recoup their investment. All this, money that they put into broadcasting games. It's a big issue for all teams because every sport is reliant on their TV dollars, and while it feels like, you know, in the NFL and college football, it just keeps getting bigger and $3 billion, $4 billion, whatever the deals are, just like every other sport, there's only so much you can do. There's only so much you can charge people at home for games. There's only so much you can charge advertisers for 30-second spots between the innings before they go, yeah, we love Padres baseball, we're really excited, but we can't pay $900,000 for a 30-second ad in a Padres game, so just so you can make up the money that you've paid for the broadcast rights. Our company can't afford that anymore. So there will have to be a reality check at some point on the rights fees payments, and they can't just in perpetuity go up forever and ever and ever. And at that point, there's going to have to be a, you know, like a reassessment of where the business is completely. And when that happens, guess what? Then player salaries start at least not going up anymore or coming back down a little bit. You know, sports is still a business, just like every business. And if you're parent company is not doing well, guess what? They're not handing out raises and bonuses anymore. And eventually it trickles down to the employees. So if, you know, the teams aren't making as much on the TV revenues, then eventually they're not going to be giving out as much on the contracts. Did we see a little bit of that this offseason?
We did.
With some of the free agents who thought they were going to get longer, bigger term deals and did not get them? It's possible that we saw some of that.
Yeah. Agreed. I agree. So, yeah, $17 million is the reported number now. So that's a little bit different. A little bit different than the, whatever, what was the first, $78
million?
$78 million. Yeah. And which was maybe $1.2 billion total. I don't know what they've paid so far and what they still owed, but quite a bit that they still owed, that the Padres aren't going to be seeing any of that money.
Super cool.
Yeah, this isn't, I think there were some fans who thought, ooh, this is good news to the Padres. They're getting a check. No, this is bad news to the Padres.
Yeah.
They wanted like $150 million or something like that, and they said, well, we're not going to come close to that. And then we heard, well, $78 million, they got about half of what they wanted. No, they're not even going to get close to that. It's bad news, not a good news story for the San Diego Padres.
No doubt. So, I mean, you know, look, fans are going to keep showing up to them. It's you're putting a product on the field that people still want to go see. And that's what the ownership, whoever it may be this year and down the road, they need to be mindful of that. Very mindful. Like, you have to put a product on the field that people want to go see, and they'll pay you back. You know, that's Bally deal, that has nothing to do with the fans of the San Diego Padres at all. And that's their business, you know, certainly. But they got to figure out how to continue to put a competitive winner on the field, or it all goes away. You know, it all goes away. So they've done a good job at that to this point.
All right, let's check traffic one last time, and then we'll wrap things up. It is 9:44. Do we need to play before we move on any further?
Play what? Did we miss it?
Not if we go play.
Maybe give it till 10. It's 9:44 right now. We'll give it 16 minutes of salt, and then we'll, you know, get back on the bump and figure it out.
I want to play it every day at 9:40. It should be like our thing at 9:44. Thank you so much to Pete Fairbanks for, after a tough, tough loss of giving it up, gives us that goal. Do you have the first one?
We can
one?
Play the whole clip. Let's go to traffic. We can play the whole clip.
We'll play the whole clip again when we come back on 97.3 The Fan.
Just a matter of command, location, selection, anything specific? The pause.
It's thinking hard.
No, I thought it generally sucked. I didn't think it was a specific suck. I thought it was like an all-encompassing type of suck. So, you know, we're going to try and rectify that. But for right now, I'm going to be pretty pissed about it.
Hey, where do you kind of go from here? Is it looking at tape? Is it going through mechanics? Where do you kind of go from here?
You tell me. I've tried that. If you got an answer, I'd love to hear. Just, you know, not going to let it beat me up for... You know, I'll maybe give it till 10. It's 9:44 right now. We'll give it 16 minutes of salt, and then we'll, you know, get back on the bump and figure it out.
It's got to be so hard, man. Like, it's got to be so, so hard to have a lead in the ninth, give it up. And they all say they, like, you'd really want to dissect somebody's brain to figure out, do they really have the ability to, Trevor Hoffman blowing a save, have the ability to get on the bus and be like, all right, hell yeah, fellas, let's get him tomorrow. So, I would be a wreck.
Remember what Jesse told us earlier this week when he said, I have taken maybe two plane flights on a team where you could tell, did they win, did they lose? It's always on to the next. And that's that was Pete Fairbanks, the closer for the Rays, after he blew a save against the Angels.
Yep.
And he said, yeah, 16 minutes, I will sulk, I'll be mad about it, but then it's time to move on and try to move forward. And Jesse said, as hard as it is to believe, because as fans, we like stew all day about losses. Like yesterday, didn't everybody all stew all day about it? It's not how they generally treat it as players. They leave the ballpark, get on the plane, and now they're already thinking about Toronto Blue Jays coming to town this weekend. Win or lose, it does not matter. They have to move on.
And that's the thing, is I think fans sometimes can mistake that too for that they don't care, right? Because how many times do we see this? Hey, we're down 7-1, it's the eighth inning, and you see guys laughing on the bench. Fans go nuts for that, right? Oh, is this funny? Is this funny to you? Oh, I'm glad you guys are yucking it up in the dust. Yeah. Bro, I got 162 of these. Like, you can't just sit there stoic, sulking up. And it's such a good reminder.
Yeah, we also have 162 of these as fans, and yet we are sulking and we are frustrated and mad all the time.
But you know what? We're not professionals, though. Like, we're fans. They're professionals. So it is, trust me, I've, the Incredible Boomer, sometimes when I see that on the bench, I'm like, what are we doing here? You guys just having fun playing grab ass down there? We just getting your ass kicked all year. That's cool. Enjoy it. Get that check. I'm 100% do that. I 100% do that. There he is, the Incredible Boomer.
We need to cut that. We need to cut that and send that out on all of our channels.
The shirt starts to swell. I'm like, why are you laughing?
Don't rip your nice new 97 through the fan polo that you put on for our roundtable discussion.
So a guy in the chat, Civil Luthi, says, my college coach required stoic crying mad on the bus after a loss. If you ate dinner on the way home, he'd accuse you of not caring enough.
If you ate food, you don't care.
Are you enjoying that sandwich? Guys, I am starving.
Even though we lost, we just played 9 innings. I gave my heart out. We lost. I'm exhausted. I need food.
No!
You can't eat. You lost.
He required them to be mad and sad on the bus. It's just one of those. That's one of those deals.
But then there's the other side of it, which is Moneyball, Billy Bean.
Yeah, what do you have?
Brad Pitt.
My favorite scene.
Does that have fun?
The Incredible Boomer. That's I do agree with that. Like, they're, you know, if you're getting your ass kicked up and down every single night and you look like you're throwing in the towel, sure, man, I get it. But it all, you know, I digress from the ability from these guys to be able to flush an AB, flush a 0 for 4 with 4 Ks, the ability to flush, you know, going out and blowing a save. Blowing a save, could there be anything worse in sports? Missing a field goal would be gnarly. It would be the worst thing ever. Blowing a save is right there.
Even the greats, Trevor Hoffman, Mariano Rivera, the Hall of Famers, blew a save 10% of the time.
No doubt.
And when you think about over the course of a career, 500, 600 saves, that's still 60 blown saves. 60 times where you cost your team a win that they had wrapped up. They worked so hard.
They worked for eight and a half innings, man.
For a win. And you came in 60 times, and you blew it for your teammates. You're a Hall of Famer.
We needed 3 outs, bro. And yeah, I mean, think about Michael King. Went out there and pitched his socks off yesterday. And you guys couldn't get, you know, one hit in that spot? It is just really, really tough. Yeah, I think that's probably the worst feeling in sports is the missed field goal in a big game. That's got to be it.
Very similar in terms of percentages. Something you do accurately 90% of the time. Buddy, but no one remembers those. They remember the 10% that you don't.
You could throw an effective pitch as a closer, and the guy could just barrel it.
Luis Gonzalez off Mariano Rivera, cutter on the hands, he fists it over, game over.
There are blocked field goals where the other team, what I'm saying is, it's not totally up to you as the pitcher. Like, there's also another hitter. There's a guy that can possibly hit the ball and ruin your day.
And oftentimes, you can throw one down the middle and it's a line drive right at someone. And you get the job and you got it done.
While they rarely get blocked, it's usually, it goes wide right, wide left, or something like that's all you. That is all
you. When you just shank one. Like, even fumbling in a big spot, you're just like, you see the monster that was like ripping the ball out of my hands. It's like the kicking of a field goal, and I it would be, I've you know, people blow saves to be able to go right back out the next night and be like, I'm not even thinking about that. I got to execute this one, man. That's really,
it's
really
tough.
Special.
So, like, with field goal kickers, how many game winning kicks do you even get in a season?
I know,
maybe one or two chances,
maybe.
You know, and if you miss one of them, it defines your career. Even though you may, they gave you 100 game-winning field goal chances, you might make 92 of them over the course of your career because you were a 90% kicker. But if it just happens, you happen like one of the first two you miss, it defines you as a kicker.
Yeah.
It's not really fair, but that's the job.
Such is life,
my friend. That is the job.
All right, it's it for us.
Not really.
Oh.
It's it for Paul.
Except for Paulie.
We will be back. What do we have tomorrow on the program? We've got a Fryer Friday. Mike Schilt will join us, the manager.
Yep.
We will have Cespedes Family Barbecue.
Not sure if it's Jake or Jordan yet.
One of them, though, will join us on a Friday as well. We'll have a whole new series and a homestand, short homestand, just a three-gamer. But the Toronto Blue Jays come into town, so we will talk about that tomorrow when we rejoin you at 6 o'clock. But Woods and I will rejoin you in about 5 minutes from our sound space for our weekly roundtable presented by Roundtable Pizza. It's coming up next. For Paul Reindel, for Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Have a great next 5 minutes from all of us here at San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Just got an update, Benny, on that story we talked about earlier. The Valley Sports settlement with the San Diego Padres. Jeff Sanders, the UT, just sent out his update on his article. A Padres source has clarified the team's expectation that the total will be just $17 million. So a fraction of what the Diamond Sports Group was supposed to pay, $360 million from 2024 through 2032.
I think it was more than $360 million based on the contract. So, I mean, just a tiny, tiny bit.
$17 million. Hey, you have a contract. If somebody offers you $100 and then they give you six.
Yeah. Well, man, but you can't squeeze anything out of a stone when it's not there.
That's right.
That's they're exactly bankrupt. Right. They've apparently run out of money for at least some of their creditors, and the Padres aren't going to be getting much of that.
That's such a huge blow, man. God.
Now, you can say, well, that's really bad luck for the Padres, which it is because it's not happening to every team, but they also entered into that deal, and, you know, they made that choice to enter into that contract with Diamond Sports, and it hasn't gone that well. Now, I feel like the Padres have held up their end of the bargain by creating as much interest in Padres baseball as there has ever been created. Yeah. Now, Diamond Sports said, yeah, we're all excited about this. If you couldn't capitalize on the most interest ever in Padres baseball, then you probably entered into a pretty bad deal to begin with. Correct?
I couldn't agree more, man. And you know, the cycle of this thing, though, is crazy, too, because fans have definitely held up their end of the bargain.
I would think so.
They have. Like, the fans in San Diego have 100% held up their end of the bargain. Ownership.
That's not even up for debate.
That's not up for debate. That's just the fans show up, period. They watch. They listen. They want to be.
Is it possible that the Padres actually hurt their TV partner by having so many people come to the games, sellouts every day, that they were actually taking away from the people who are watching on TV and hurting their ratings?
I think
they've increased interest across the board.
The interest is through the roof, man. It's through the roof. And
it wasn't a Padres issue. It was the
Diamond
Valley
Sports Group
parent company went bankrupt.
Yeah.
Like that, it didn't really have anything to do with.
Yeah,
the
but
Padres
part thing of that was because they were paying not just the Padres but all these teams.
Yeah.
So much in rights fees, and they weren't able to recoup their investment. All this, money that they put into broadcasting games. It's a big issue for all teams because every sport is reliant on their TV dollars, and while it feels like, you know, in the NFL and college football, it just keeps getting bigger and $3 billion, $4 billion, whatever the deals are, just like every other sport, there's only so much you can do. There's only so much you can charge people at home for games. There's only so much you can charge advertisers for 30-second spots between the innings before they go, yeah, we love Padres baseball, we're really excited, but we can't pay $900,000 for a 30-second ad in a Padres game, so just so you can make up the money that you've paid for the broadcast rights. Our company can't afford that anymore. So there will have to be a reality check at some point on the rights fees payments, and they can't just in perpetuity go up forever and ever and ever. And at that point, there's going to have to be a reassessment of where the business is completely. And when that happens, guess what? Then player salaries start at least not going up anymore or coming back down a little bit. You know, sports is still a business, just like every business. And if your parent company is not doing well, guess what? They're not handing out raises and bonuses anymore. And eventually it trickles down to the employees. So if, you know, the teams aren't making as much on the TV revenues, then eventually they're not going to be giving out as much on the contracts. Did we see a little bit of that this offseason?
We did.
With some of the free agents who thought they were going to get longer, bigger term deals and did not get them? It's possible that we saw some of that.
Yeah. Agreed. I agree. So, yeah, 17 million is the reported number now. So that's a little bit different. A little bit different than the whatever. What was the first 78 million?
78.
Yeah. And then, which was maybe 1.2 billion total. I don't know what they've paid so far and what they still owed, but quite a bit that they still owed, that the Padres aren't going to be seeing any of that money.
Super cool.
Yeah, this isn't. I think there were some fans who thought, ooh, this is good news to the Padres. They're getting a check. No, this is bad news to the Padres.
Yeah.
They wanted like 150 million or something like that. And they said, well, we're not going to come close to that. And then we heard, well, 78 million, they got about half of what they wanted. No, they're not even going to get close to that. It's bad news, not a good news story for the San Diego Padres.
No doubt. So, I mean, you know, look, fans are going to keep showing up to them. It's you're putting a product on the field that people still want to go see. And that's what the ownership, whoever it may be this year and down the road, they need to be mindful of that. Very mindful. Like, you have to put a product on the field that people want to go see, and they'll pay you back. You know, that's Bally deal, that has nothing to do with the fans of the San Diego Padres at all. And that's their business, you know, certainly. But they got to figure out how to continue to put a competitive winner on the field, or it all goes away. You know, it all goes away. So they've done a good job at that to this point.
All right, let's check traffic one last time, and then we'll wrap things up. It is 9:44. Do we need to play before we move on any further?
Play what? Did we miss it?
Not if we go play.
Maybe give it till 10. It's 9:44 right now. We'll give it 16 minutes of salt, and then we'll, you know, get back on the bump and figure it out.
I want to play it every day at 9:40. It should be like our thing at 9:44. Thank you so much to Pete Fairbanks for, after a tough, tough loss of giving it up, gives us that goal. Do you have the first one?
We can
one?
Play the whole clip. Let's go to traffic. We can play the whole clip.
We'll play the whole clip again when we come back on 97.3 The Fan.
Just a matter of command, location, selection, anything specific. The pause.
It's thinking hard.
No, I thought it generally sucked. I didn't think it was a specific suck. I thought it was like an all-encompassing type of suck. So, you know, we're going to try and rectify that. But for right now, I'm going to be pretty pissed about it.
Hey, where do you kind of go from here? Is it looking at tape? Is it going through mechanics? Where do you kind of go from here?
You tell me. I've tried that. If you got an answer, I'd love to hear. Just, you know, not going to let it beat me up for... You know, I'll maybe give it till 10. It's 9:44 right now. We'll give it 16 minutes of salt, and then we'll, you know, get back on the bump and figure it out.
It's got to be so hard, man. Like, it's got to be so, so hard to have a lead in the ninth, give it up. And they all say they, like, you'd really want to dissect somebody's brain to figure out, do they really have the ability to, Trevor Hoffman blowing a save, have the ability to get on the bus and be like, all right, hell yeah, fellas, let's get him tomorrow. So, I would be a wreck.
Remember what Jesse told us earlier this week when he said, I have taken maybe two plane flights on a team where you could tell, did they win, did they lose? It's always on to the next. And that's that was Pete Fairbanks, the closer for the Rays, after he blew a save against the Angels.
Yep.
And he said, yeah, 16 minutes, I will sulk, I'll be mad about it, but then it's time to move on and try to move forward. And Jesse said, as hard as it is to believe, because as fans, we like stew all day about losses. Like yesterday, didn't everybody all stew all day about it? It's not how they generally treat it as players. They leave the ballpark, get on the plane, and now they're already thinking about Toronto Blue Jays coming to town this weekend. Win or lose, it does not matter. They have to move on.
And that's the thing, is I think fans sometimes can mistake that too for that they don't care, right? Because how many times do we see this? Hey, we're down 7-1. It's the eighth inning, and you see guys laughing on the bench. Fans go nuts for that, right? Oh, is it funny? Is it funny to you? Oh, I'm glad you guys are yucking it up in the dust. Yeah. Bro, I got 162 of these. Like, you can't just sit there stoic, sulking up, and it's such a good reminder.
Yeah, we also have 162 of these as fans, and yet we are sulking and we are frustrated and mad all the time.
But you know what? We're not professionals, though. Like, we're fans. They're professionals. So trust me, I've the incredible boomer. Sometimes when I see that on the bench, I'm like, what are we doing here? You guys just having fun playing grab ass down there? We just getting your ass kicked all year. That's cool. Enjoy it. Get that check. I'm 100% do that. I 100% do that. There he is, the Incredible Boomer.
We need to cut that. We need to cut that and send that out on all of our channels.
The shirt starts to swell. I'm like, why are you laughing?
Don't rip your nice new 97 through the fan polo that you put on for our roundtable discussion.
So a guy in the chat, Civil Luthi, says, my college coach required stoic crying mad on the bus after a loss. If you ate dinner on the way home, he'd accuse you of not caring enough.
If you ate food, you don't care.
Are you enjoying that sandwich? Guys, I am starving.
Even though we lost, we just played 9 innings. I gave my heart out. We lost. I'm exhausted. I need food.
No!
You can't eat. You lost.
He required them to be mad and sad on the bus. It's just one of those. That's one of those deals.
But then there's the other side of it, which is Moneyball, Billy Bean.
Yeah, what do you have?
Brad Pitt.
My favorite scene.
Does that have fun?
The Incredible Boomer. That's I do agree with that. Like, they're, you know, if you're getting your ass kicked up and down every single night and you look like you're throwing in the towel, sure, man, I get it. But it all, you know, I digress from the ability from these guys to be able to flush an AB, flush a 0 for 4 with 4 Ks, the ability to flush, you know, going out and blowing a save. Blowing a save, could there be anything worse in sports? Missing a field goal would be gnarly. It would be the worst thing ever. Blowing a save is right there.
Even the greats, Trevor Hoffman, Mariano Rivera, the Hall of Famers, blew a save 10% of the time.
No doubt.
And when you think about over the course of a career, 500, 600 saves, that's still 60 blown saves. 60 times where you cost your team
no doubt.
A win that they had wrapped up. They worked so hard.
They worked for eight and a half innings, man.
For you a win. In. And you came in 60 times, and you blew it for your teammates. You're a Hall of Famer.
We needed 3 outs, bro. And yeah, I mean, think about Michael King. Went out there and pitched his socks off yesterday. And you guys couldn't get, you know, one hit in that spot? Man, it is just really, really tough. Yeah, I think that's probably the worst feeling in sports is the missed field goal in a big game. That's got to be it.
Very similar in terms of percentages. Something you do accurately 90% of the time. Buddy, but no one remembers those. They remember the 10% that you don't.
You could throw an effective pitch as a closer, and the guy could just barrel it.
Luis Gonzalez off Mariano Rivera, cutter on the hands, he fists it over, game over.
There are blocked field goals where the other team, what I'm saying is, it's not totally up to you as the pitcher. Like, there's also another hitter. There's a guy that can possibly hit the ball and ruin your day.
And oftentimes, you can throw one down the middle and it's a line drive right at someone. And you get the job and you got it done.
While they rarely get blocked, it's usually, it goes wide right, wide left, or something like that's all you. That is all
you. When you just shank one. Like, even fumbling in a big spot, you're just like, you see the monster that was like ripping the ball out of my hands. It's like the kicking of a field goal, and I it would be, I've you know, people blow saves to be able to go right back out the next night and be like, I'm not even thinking about that. I got to execute this one, man. That's really,
it's
really
tough.
Special.
So, like, with field goal kickers, how many game winning kicks do you even get
in
a season?
I know,
maybe one or two chances.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, and if you miss one of them, it defines your career. Even though you may, they gave you 100 game-winning field goal chances, you might make 92 of them over the course of your career because you were a 90% kicker. But if it just happens, you happen like one of the first two you miss, it defines you as a kicker.
Yeah.
It's not really fair, but that's life. The job.
Such is
that,
life,
that
my
is
friend.
The job.
All right, sit for us.
Not really.
Oh.
Sit for Paul.
Different Paulie.
We will be back. What do we have tomorrow on the program? We've got a Fryer Friday. Mike Schilt will join us, the manager.
Yep.
We will have Cespedes Family Barbecue.
Not
on
sure
a Friday.
If it's Jake or Jordan yet.
One of them, though, will
o'clock.
Join us on a Friday as well. We'll have a whole new series and a homestand, short homestand, just a 3-gamer. But the Toronto Blue Jays come into town, so we will talk about that tomorrow when we rejoin you at 6 o'clock. But Woods and I will rejoin you in about 5 minutes. From our sound space for our weekly roundtable presented by Roundtable Pizza. It's coming up next for Paul Reindel. For Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Have a great next 5 minutes from all of us here at San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.